Today's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 1 until verse 12. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rachel. You can go ahead and take your seat. Thank you for being here. It's good to see you this morning on this long weekend. It's awesome. We've been in our series, in our teaching series that we've entitled Life in the Kingdom or Life in God's Kingdom. And sort of placed neatly inside of that overarching story, that overarching theme of life in God's kingdom, is we've endeavored to answer this question. How do we make decisions? And we laid this out pretty succinctly a couple weeks ago, and we said, you know, there's a lot of ways to make decisions. There's lots of things that we can focus on. I can make a decision that's basically good for me. And the reality is that's how a lot of people live their lives. They live their lives through that lens of what's best for me. I get that. It is what it is. Is that a kingdom of God principle? No, there's other ways that we can look at this and decipher this. So last week we talked about really digging into Jesus and looking to Jesus and letting the Word of God become an authority, letting the Word of God speak to us, speak to our heart and minds when we're making decisions. So, can I make a decision however I want? Of course, totally free to do that. Does God have something to say about the decisions I make? Yeah. And I think that's where life becomes exciting. I think that's what really blows life up in a good way. You know, as I begin to look and say, wow, God says this, but it seems so contrary to what the world says. God says, you know, do good to people who don't do good to you. Wow. That seems so contrary. Because the world basically says, no, if people mistreat you, get them out of your life, kick them out, and go live your life to the best of your ability. So we have this differing approach, and I really can say this, the different approach is this, how do we live life in God's kingdom? And I love those end verses that I'm not going to get to today, where it says the kingdom of God suffers violent. And the violent take it by force. Oh, that's powerful. I can't wait to get there in my teaching. It's not going to be today. I just can't wait. I have to resist the temptation to just go there today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for godly counsel, for godly people in our lives. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of prayer that we get to come to you and say, Lord, what do you think? Father, as we teach this morning, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's the question we're endeavoring to answer. How do we make decisions? What is your criteria for making decisions? You know, I can sit here and say this is what the Bible says, but I think part of this teaching has to be this. It has to be somewhat self-reflective. I have to be able to look at my life and say, okay, Randy, I'm teaching what the Bible says, but in reality, how do I make decisions? Do I make decisions based on God's word, or am I still making decisions by another set of criteria? So we've been looking at what the Bible has to say about our decision-making process, and we said there's at least three qualities. There's three aspects to a quality decision. Number one, we talked about last week, was God's word. Let God's word speak. God's word is truth. And we did a whole bunch of teaching, and I went through so many verses last week, which is a little bit not like me if you come to our church on a regular basis. I love to take a portion of scripture and tackle it through. But last week, I wanted to do something a little bit different because I wanted us to see the power of God's word. I wanted us to see what the word, what the Bible has to say about the Bible itself. Years ago, a great Bible teacher taught me this. He said, never try to interpret the Bible. Now, I should have your attention there. He said, never try to interpret the Bible. He said, let the Bible interpret itself. Come on now, that's a powerful, that will help you. See, this is the problem that we can encounter. We say, well, in my Bible it says this, so here's what I think it means. And then we ask Beth and she says, no, I think it means totally this. And then I ask Gary, he says, no, I think it means that. Here's how we study the Bible. We study the Bible by saying, what does the Bible say about itself? Amen? So we use the Bible as our foundation. That's point one about making quality decisions. Point two is this, godly counsel or godly people in our lives. Who are the people you have in your life? Who are the go-to people you have in your life to help you make decisions? And if you say the go-to people are me, myself, and I, that does not count. That's not enough. It can't be me, myself, and I. I gotta have godly people. I've gotta have people I can process this with. And why? What's the power of that? The power is so basic and so profound. It's so simple, yet so complex. The power is this. Somebody else will see another angle that I've missed. That's the simplicity of it. The power of it is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to dig into this. We're going to see this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, now Marco reminded me this morning that I have not been in the book of Ecclesiastes in years, maybe. It could be years, Mark. I don't know. But we got one today, Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says, though one man may be overpowered, look at this now, in light of what we're talking about, though one man may be overpowered, what does that mean? Your mind, yourself, all the strength you have as one person can be defeated. That's the point. Two can defend themselves. So better Rachel and I than just Randy. You see that? And it says this, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, why do I bring that verse up? Because I want us to see the power. Just hold that verse there for a second, guys. I want us to see something. When making quality decisions, it's not enough. Now, resist making a decision on my next statement. Just bear with me. It's not enough to say, I talked to Beth and Rachel about it. Now I know what to do. That's not enough. That's helpful, but it's not enough. It's not enough to say, I've prayed about it, and I've talked to Rachel and Beth about it. That's still not enough. That is so good, but it's still not enough. The three-chord string is this. I've prayed about this. I've sought counsel about this. And now I've got God's word on this. You know what that does? Brings strength to your heart and mind. Because how many people know this? The moment we make a decision, it's challenged. Come on. The moment you make a decision, where you really, really make a decision, I promise you the next thing that'll happen to you is it'll be challenged. I remember years ago, I decided I really want to play football professionally. I just made this, and I believed it was from God. I'd prayed about this. I'd given this to God. And I said, God, this is what I want to do. Instantly, that was challenged. That was challenged by my family. That was challenged by my friends. That was challenged by people who came to me and said, you don't have the ability. You could never do that. That's not, you're going to waste your life pursuing something that you'll never achieve. Now, here's the reality. If I hadn't consulted people in my life that know and love me, that could have swayed me. If I hadn't spent time praying about it, maybe I would have left it. If I hadn't spent time looking into God's word and saying, God, could this be part of my destiny? Then I may have walked away. But as I look back on that decision, I'll tell you something. I had the support of godly people in my life. I had a peace in my heart through prayer that only God can give. That's a powerful thing. And I saw in God's word that God can work and use any circumstance in my life for his glory. And it could be the most unconventional thing, like going to be a professional football player. Amen? So God can use you right where you are. So here we go. One of my favorite movies. I'm a bit of a movie buff. Rachel and I like movies. One of my favorite movies in the series is Indiana Jones. How many people know the Indiana Jones series? Yes, come on. We let Mullen watch certain scenes of Indiana Jones. In Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Indiana is in pursuit of the Holy Grail. How many people know what I'm talking about? So he's looking for what? The Holy Grail in the movie was the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper. How many people get that scene in their head? And all of a sudden, Indiana is going through all those things, and he has to step on a certain rock so he doesn't fall through, and then he has to throw the little pebbles across because he has to take that leap of faith. And then he finally enters that cave where all those beautiful cups are. Do you remember? And there's this old knight sitting there. Do you remember the picture? This old, decrepit knight tries to get up and defend the cups, and he just gives up. He says, just choose. And his only advice is this. He says, choose wisely. Do you know what godly people in your life help you do? Choose wisely. This is why we need people in our life. Listen, I don't need and you don't need someone in your life to tell you what to do. Come on, I got to say that again. Counsel in your life is not present to tell you what to do, but to point us in a direction, to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to pray for us, to support us. That's godly counsel, amen? So who is your counsel? Who is your go-to people when making decisions? Do you have one person? Let me ask you a tough question. What qualifies that person? If you said, yeah, I have someone I go to, awesome. What qualifies them? Are they someone who can be trusted? Are they someone who knows you? Do they really, truly know you? Do they know your hopes? Do they know your fears? Do they know your dreams? Do you know the thing? Do they know the thing about you that makes you you? Do they know your gifts? Do they know your abilities? Do they know your strengths? Now, do they know God's word? Do they know Christ? Do they want God's will for your life so much that they're willing to pray for you? They're willing to work with you. They're willing to hear you. Friends, that is a person that's worth their weight in gold. Amen? So this is what we're talking about when we're discussing making quality decisions. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And we're going to go to 1 verse 6. But look at this. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and to preach in the towns of Galilee. I talked about that last week. Verse 2. When John, who was in prison, this is John the Baptist, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples. Isn't it interesting? So John hears something about Jesus doing some amazing stuff, and he says, I'm still not sure if he's the one. So John sends his disciples. He says, guys, go check it out. So look what John does in verse 2. When John was in prison, he heard about the deeds of Messiah. He sent his disciples to ask him. So he says, go ask him this question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? That's a very specific question. Come on. Isn't it powerful? What did we say last week? We said, Jesus is the Word of God. Look at John the Baptist is using that principle. He doesn't say, let me think about it. Yep, he's the one. No, he says, go right to the source. Go to Jesus and ask him. Isn't that the powerful thing for us? Go to the Word. If you're ever struggling with a decision, find something that says something in the Word pertaining to your situation. Amen? Verse 4, here's where Jesus' reply is. It's funny. He doesn't directly answer him, but look what he says. He says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Isn't that interesting? So now what does Jesus do? He uses the second principle, which is godly people or godly counsel. So he says to John, okay, he says to John's disciples, now guys, I know what John's asking me. John wants to make sure that I'm the one. And I know why he's asking this, because John is locked away in prison right now. And he wants to fulfill his mission. He wants to fulfill his purpose on earth. And if I'm not the one, John's not sure what to do. He better start praying to get released from prison. You following the example? He says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who has not stumbled on account of me. So here's the point. Jesus instructs John's disciples to go back and counsel John on what they saw and what they heard. Isn't that powerful? What qualifies a person to speak into your life? What they see and what they hear. Come on. What do they know about God? Do they have some credibility in their life where they can say, I've seen God do things. I've seen God move in ways that astounded me. I trust God is superior. I trust God is sovereign. That's the kind of people I'm looking for in my life. When I think of counsel in my life, when I think of godly people to help me make quality decisions, that's the kind of person I want in my corner. I don't want someone who's self-motivated. I don't want someone in my corner who's self-focused. I don't want someone in my corner who's just trying to better themselves in the situation. I don't want someone in my corner who just thinks they're really wise and wants to drop quick, wise little thoughts. Awesome, don't want them in my corner. When I'm making a real important life decision, and think about this, this was maybe the biggest, most important decision John and his disciples could have asked. Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? I can't think of a bigger question for that group of people. It's still a big question for you and I today. Come on. So here we go. Who's your counsel? So we see John has to trust his counsel. Why does John trust them? Well, number one, they're his disciples and he knows them. Number two, they have firsthand eyewitness account and testimony from Jesus himself. Whose counsel should we trust? Let me say this. If you can find someone who's traveled a road before you that you're on today, seek them out. Seek them out. Say, I'm going through something today. Could it be possible God could bring someone into your life who's been down that road before? Whose counsel should we trust? People who are trustworthy. Do you know them? How long have you known them? Some of the people in Rachel and I's lives that we will hardly make a major decision. Well, I'll say this. We won't make a major decision in our life without consulting them. I say it like it is. We've known them for 10, 12 years. So there's a track record. There's an intimacy. There's a knowledge of one another. There's a trust. Amen. I know they're not trying to hurt us, even though their counsel sometimes hurts. Did you hear that one? See, that one we don't like so much. But there's hardly we will not make a major decision without their consultation. Another thing you're looking for is people who know the Word. What do they know about the Word? Are they mature in the Word? Can they rightly divide the Word? We talked about that last Sunday in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews, that verse in Hebrews, Hebrews 4:12. See, do they know the Word? It's one thing to be able to pick up the Bible and say, here, in this verse here, it says this. Yeah, but do you know this kind of the Word? For the Word of God, the Bible, is alive and active. Now look at this. Sharper than any double-edged sword. That means the Word can cut. Come on, everybody say cut. That means you can hurt people with the Word. Or, listen, you can cut the wrong thing with the Word. You need to know what you're cutting. So the Word, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates. The Word penetrates. The Word goes inside of people, even to the dividing of soul and spirit. What is soul and spirit? My soul, in simplicity, is what I think. You say, is that important? Of course it's important. But what's more important? What God thinks. Come on, give me a wave. What you think is important, 100%, but what God thinks is more important. Amen? So look what the Word of God does. It penetrates, goes inside of our hearts, and helps divide what I think and what God thinks. That's soul and spirit. Joints and marrow. And look at this. Who? It judges the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. So the Word of God has this profound, deeply spiritual, deeply powerful impact to be able to go into my heart and separate what is me and what is God. What I want and what God has for me. What I desire and what God desires for me. Only God's Word can do that. Now listen, make sure the person who's wielding the Word can wield it properly. Amen? Listen, friends, this takes a lifetime. There's some things in here, can I be straight with you? I don't wield too easily. Why? I need revelation. I need to know what that says. I need to study that through. I need to think that through. I need to pray that through. What you can pray for me every week is this, that God will reveal himself to me through the Word, so when I teach you on a Sunday, you get something that's powerful. Pray that for me every week. Let a week not go by where you don't pray that. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 15, and now we're going to roll through to the end of our message. Proverbs 15:22 says this. Plans fail for lack of counsel. How many people want your plans to fail? No one. Thank you for not putting your hand up. But why do they fail? Because we didn't have counsel. Plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, everybody say many? But with many advisors, they succeed. Come on, I want your life to succeed. I want your life to win. I want you to win at life. I want when you're making decisions and you're choosing things, I want you to just have confidence when you choose. This is what counsel can do. Godly counsel gives you confidence. You got to write that down somewhere. Godly counsel gives you confidence. So listen, if you're looking for a counselor who wants to tell you what you want to hear, that may not be godly. I'm not looking for people who just want to tickle my ears. No, that's not helpful. I want godly people with godly counsel. Amen? Proverbs 27:6. Come on, this is good. This is good. You should remember this scripture. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Isn't that something? It actually says that a true friend's words will hurt. Now listen, a true friend isn't just trying to hurt you, but the words can hurt. Do you see that? But an enemy multiplies kisses. A kiss doesn't hurt. So when people are speaking, when you have a godly person in your life who loves you, knows you, cares about you, loves you so much that they don't want you to stay the way you are, but want everything God has for you, cling to that person. Don't let that person out of your sight. Don't let that person go. Put yourself on that person. Pursue that relationship. Amen? Why? And I promise you, there's times it will hurt. Listen, the truth can hurt. Let me say this now. You got to remember this. Truth without grace just hurts. Hold on now. Grace without truth is weak and powerless. Yeah, let me say that again. Truth. Truth, Beth. I'm going to tell you the truth. And I walk away. I've told Beth everything that I think is wrong with her. All I've done is hurt her. Because the truth hurts. Come on. But if all I say is, oh, Beth, it's okay. No, Jesus loves you. You're loved by God. You're awesome. Like somewhere in there, you're awesome. And God just has this awesome plan for you. That sounds gracious, doesn't it? But it won't change her life. What does the Bible say about John, about Jesus? He was full of grace and truth. Do you know who I look for? The most godly people I know carry this quality. They can speak truth to me, full of grace. I can't explain it. I can only experience it. But there's truth. But it's full of grace because they love me so much. It's truth, but it's full of grace. If it's just truth, it just hurts. If it's just grace, there's no power to change. Amen? Why? What is grace? Grace is getting something I don't deserve. Amen? That's the grace of God. To get from God, the grace of God is to get from God something I don't deserve. How do I realize I don't deserve it unless God gives me truth? Unless God says, yeah, Randy, you're not all that in a bag of chips. You're actually a big work in progress. But I'm going to give you my grace. Now grace is powerful to help me change. Amen? Truth and grace. Listen. Let your relationships be full of truth and grace. Your relationships with your friends, let them be full of truth and grace. Listen, you will be the most sought-after friend if you can be a friend who is full of truth and grace. Grace and truth. Truth and grace. Your marriage will flourish if there's truth and grace. Truth and grace. It won't flourish if there's just one. If you just think, I'm going to be gracious to him, I'm going to be gracious to him, I'm going to be gracious to him, you're going to be gracious to the grave. And he won't change. I'm going to give her the truth. Told her what I thought of her. That ain't going to change. You will go to your grave wielding a big sword and angry. Come on. Truth and grace is Jesus. Is that helpful? Come on. I'm running out of time. I'm going to go to three verses, Proverbs 11, 12, and 13, guys. Give me the first one, 11, 14, and I'm going to end. Here we go. Look at this. Proverbs 11, I can't remember what it was. I should tell you specifically. Proverbs 11, 14. There you go. Look at this. Look, look. For a lack of guidance, a nation falls. But victory is won through many advisors. The next one, please. Proverbs 12 something. The way of fools. Come on, I don't want to be a fool. The way of fools seems right to them. The way a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. I want to be wise. Amen. Give me a wave if you want to be wise. Listen, I'm not interested in being a fool. I want to avoid that. Next verse, please. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it. But whoever respects a command is rewarded. Can I go to one more verse and I'm going to end, I promise. James chapter 1, verse 5. Look at this. This is the power of God. This is the grace of God. I'm so glad we're ending here today. This is my last verse, I promise. Look. If any of you lacks wisdom, pause. That's every one of us. Friends, let me say this. Every one of us in this room are in the process of making decisions right now. Every one of us. There's not one of us in this room that our life is just void of any decisions having to be made. No, every one of us. Here's the promise from God. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God. Look at this. Here's the promise. Who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. What is God's promise? To generously give us wisdom. The book of Proverbs says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is a powerful thing. Wisdom is a great treasure. Amen? Bow your head, close your eyes, let me pray for you right now. Father, you say in your word in the book of James that if any of us lacks wisdom, we can pray and ask for it, and you will give it to us without finding fault. Father, some decisions we've made in this room and in our lives have totally gone astray. Some of the decisions we've made, Lord God, have really ruined portions of our lives. But Lord God, you don't say that we're going to be held accountable to that or judged for that. You said you will give us grace for that. Father, thank you. If any of us lacks wisdom, we can pray and ask, and you'll give liberally without finding fault. Thank you, Jesus, for not finding fault inside of us today. But Father, we humbly ask for wisdom. Wisdom for every decision we're making. Wisdom for careers. Wisdom for jobs. Wisdom for businesses. Wisdom for family. Wisdom of when to start a family. Wisdom for our children. Wisdom to be a friend. Wisdom to be a husband, a wife. Wisdom to be a godly person. Wisdom to be a believer in Christ. Father, we need so much wisdom. We ask for your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.